pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you, team, for leading us in worship. Well, if you have your Bible, and I sure do hope you do, let me encourage you to hold it up right now and repeat after me what we believe about this book. This is God's Word. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. It is the supreme source of truth for what we believe and how we live. Now, open up your copy of God's Word with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 20 this morning. In 1999, God opened the door for our church to purchase 128 acres of prime real estate on the corner of I-20 and 378, the property that we're meeting in right now. I doubt they knew it then, but the property that they bought was some of the best, some of the most strategic property, not only in Lexington, not only in the Midlands, but I believe in the state of South Carolina. I don't know if you realize how great of a location we have. I was looking yesterday. I just wanted to find out some figures, and I was checking to see how many cars pass by our church every single day. And did you know that around 50,000 cars pass by our church facility every single day? It's amazing how many people pass by our church, and many of them are lost, unchurched, are far from God, and we have not only privilege, we have the opportunity of seeking to reach them. And the facilities that God has allowed us to build are absolutely amazing. We have an incredible worship center. We have space for all of our life groups. We have amazing recreational facilities, including a disc golf course that we've just put in. It's absolutely amazing what we've got, but that doesn't mean that we can sit back and relax. Our family ministries are booming. Just this past Saturday, we had 150 students here on Wednesday night for a regular Wednesday night. It was nothing special. And not only our student ministry is booming, all of our family ministries are booming. Our preschoolers, our children, our preteens, all of them are growing. And our school, Northside Christian Academy, we have just under 1,000 students now. They're going to be starting back a week from Tuesday. God has given us an incredible opportunity to reach the next generation. And we've got to do that if we're going to continue to move forward. And not only are we in a great location, but the Midlands is growing. Did you know that the Midlands of South Carolina has become one of the primary locations that people want to move to today? I heard a statistic just a couple of months ago that said among Gen Z, we're the number two destination in America. Among Gen Z, the Midlands of South Carolina is the number two destination in America. Now, if you don't know, Gen Z are those who are 13 to 28 years of age. So Gen Z are teenagers to young adults. And more teenagers and young adults are moving to Columbia than every other place in the United States apart from one other city. And we've been given by God Himself the opportunity to reach these people. God has given our church an incredible opportunity. You see, we can't afford to just be another church. We can't afford to just go through the motions. That's why we have to take the commands of Jesus seriously. And that's why the command that we're going to look at this morning is so extremely important for us during this time and during this season. Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. He had gone out into the wilderness and he had been tempted by Satan for 40 days straight. He came out of the wilderness and he preached his first sermon, commanding people to repent and believe the good news. And now he is ready to choose his very first disciples. So if your Bible is open to Mark chapter 1, verse 16, I want you to follow along as I read. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once, immediately, and they followed him. A little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Now, there's something extremely important in that very first verse. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and we are told that he saw them. Jesus saw them. I believe that Jesus was on a mission that day. He was looking for his very first disciples. This wasn't just a casual stroll that Jesus was taking. Jesus was about to make the most important, or one of the most important, decisions of his ministry here on this earth. And that's when he saw Simon and Andrew. Now, this wasn't the first time that Jesus had seen these two brothers. Simon, or Andrew, had actually become a follower, a disciple of John the Baptist. And he continued fishing, but he also was being taught by John the Baptist. And one day, John the Baptist saw Jesus, and John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Bible says that Simon and another disciple of John the Baptist followed Jesus that day. They followed him around for a day. Later that evening, Andrew went back home and he found his brother Simon, and he told Simon, we have found the Messiah. Come and see. I believe with all my heart, when you and I come to know Jesus and we know who Jesus is, we want everyone we know to know Jesus as well. Jesus changes our lives that way. Now, Simon and Andrew were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. These young men weren't a part of the elite. They weren't aristocrats. They weren't well-to-do. They were ordinary, working class, rough around the edges young fishermen. John MacArthur said this about Jesus' disciples. He said, God skipped all the wise of the day. The great scholars were in Egypt. The great philosophers were in Athens. The powerful were in Rome. He chose men so ordinary, it was comical. No rabbis, no teachers, no religious experts, not even a synagogue ruler. Half were fishermen. One was essentially an IRS agent. And one was a former terrorist. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God calls those of us who are ordinary, or those of us who were less than ordinary, and through us, he can do extraordinary things. Now, these were the men that Jesus saw. And that word saw, it speaks about much more than just a quick glance. It means much more than Jesus just physically looked at them. It's a word that describes a gaze. Jesus didn't just look at them. Jesus looked into them. You see, in the Old Testament, we're told that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, it says this, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You see, Jesus is looking for those who are willing to forsake all and follow him. And I believe with all my heart, Jesus is still looking for people like that today. When Jesus looks at you, When he looks deep within you, what does he see? Does he see a heart that desires to be fully committed to him? Or does he see someone who was just going through the motions? And so Jesus saw them, then Jesus gave them a command. And the command was this: follow me. Now, before we look at anything else, I want to make it clear that when we repent of our sin and we believe the good news, we believe the gospel that Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to pay for our sins, when we believe that, we will follow Jesus. You see, this command that Jesus gave to follow him was not just to these first disciples. This command was to anyone and to everyone who has repented of their sins. This command was to anyone and everyone who has believed the gospel, the good news. Now, where were they going to follow Jesus? Where are we to follow Jesus? Well, we're to follow him wherever he leads. We're to do whatever he calls us to do. No strings attached. We're to simply follow him. College football kicked off this weekend. Now, most games start this next Saturday, but football season, college football season, is officially here. This Saturday, Clemson plays LSU. How many of you are Clemson fans? All right, okay. And then Texas, who is number one, plays Ohio State, which is, I think, number two or number three. Now, Pastor Steve is a Texas fan. Pastor Rich is an Arkansas fan and can't stand Texas, so we're not going to talk about either of those. But South Carolina is going to play Virginia Tech. How many of you are South Carolina fans? All right, okay. Now, here's what I know about a fan. The dictionary says a fan is someone with a strong interest or admiration. Fans pull for their teams. Fans love their teams. Fans cheer for their teams. Fans put on the team's colors. They wear their colors on game days and other days. Fans will go out into a hot stadium and sweat until they're soaking wet to cheer for their team. And fans will go out as it turns to winter in the blistery cold, shivering because they're freezing to death, and pull for their teams. That's what fans do. But I want you to hear me. I'm afraid that many of us would describe our relationship with Jesus that way. We're fans of Jesus. But I want you to hear my heart. God isn't looking for fans. Jesus isn't looking for fans. Jesus is looking for followers. Jesus is looking for people who are completely committed followers, those who are sold out. Now, I've discovered that a lot of people want to follow Jesus, but very few people actually follow Jesus. Jesus had a way of separating the fans from the followers. Those who said they wanted to follow him and those who were willing to forsake everything and follow him. In Luke chapter 9, there's a story that is repeated in several of the Gospels where Jesus is talking to some people. I want you to listen to the story. It's found in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. This is what it says. It says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. That sounds great. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in. The birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I got to tell you, those are hard words, aren't they? I mean, the first man was ready to follow, but Jesus said, you really haven't counted the cost. Will you really follow me wherever it leads, whatever it costs? The next two men just weren't quite ready. They wanted to go home and take care of some family business. It may have been important business, but they wanted to go home first. You would think that this was an innocent request, but remember, Jesus doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And Jesus knew that these men's hearts were not fully committed to him. You see, Jesus makes it clear that to follow him, we must put him before anything and everything else. Have you ever taken the time to really understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus? But the story that really grabs me and doesn't turn loose is the story of the rich young ruler. Remember that story? It's told again in several of the Gospels. There was this rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "You know what the law says." Then Jesus began to say, you know, "Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this." That's what the law said. And this rich young ruler said, "I've done all of those things since I was young." And this is where I want to start reading. Listen to what the story says. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Did you get that? Jesus loved this young man. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go, sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus said, if you really want to be a part of the kingdom, you need to go sell everything. You need to give it all up. Then come follow me. Now, why did Jesus tell him that? He didn't tell anybody else, go sell everything you've got. He didn't tell Simon and Andrew or James and John to do that, though they left all behind. This is the only person in Scripture that he told to do that. Why was this? Because it was this man's money, it was his possessions that had a hold of his heart. These were the things that was holding him back from being all in. What about you? Honestly, what is it that's keeping you from being all in with Jesus? Is it your family? Is it some other relationship? Is it a job or a career? Is it a hobby or maybe even a vice? These men, Simon and Andrew, James and John, they left everything. They left their financial security, their jobs. They left their homes, and they followed Jesus into an unknown future. You've heard the saying before, we don't know what the future holds. But if we're following Jesus, we know who holds the future, amen? And they believed that. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where it would lead. It led every single one of them to death except John, who was exiled on an island, put in a pot of boiling oil, but did not die. That's where it led all of these men. But they gladly gave up everything to follow Jesus. They were willing to give up everything. Mark Battison has a book called All In. It's a good book. And in that book, he says this: "Most people in most churches think they're following Jesus, but I'm not sure. They may think they're following Jesus, but the reality is they have invited Jesus to follow them." I think that's true oftentimes. We're saying follow Jesus, but in reality, what we're saying is, "Jesus, I want you to follow me and bless my life." I can promise you one thing this morning. Whoever you are, whatever your background may be, your past may be, Jesus is saying to you today, follow me. But next, notice their response. The Bible says immediately they followed Jesus. In the blink of an eye, snap of a finger, just like that, These four men left everything and followed Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Whatever he calls me to do, I will do without hesitation, without a second thought. Think about it. These fishermen got out of their boats and left everything for an uncertain future in a split second. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is calling each of us this morning. He's calling some of us to salvation. Some here in this room need to repent of their sins and believe the good news that Jesus paid for your sins on the cross, that he rose again so that you could live a new life. There are others of us that he's calling to give up some sinful habit or some less important thing that has a hold of your heart that is taking up your time. Still, for others of us, he's calling us to get out of the boat of comfort, to get out of the boat of success, and to get all in with Jesus. But listen, when Jesus calls us to get saved, when Jesus calls us to give up something, when Jesus calls us to get out of the boat, he's not saying, I'll give you time to think about it. He's not saying you need to pray about it. He's just saying you need to do it. And so if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, this isn't something you need to think about. It's not something you need to pray about. You just need to do what Jesus commanded us to do. If there's some sinful vice or some habit that's got a hold of your life that is keeping you from giving Jesus your all, you don't need to think about giving that up. You don't need to think about putting it behind you. You just need to do it today. You need to write a line in the sand and start following Jesus with all your heart. And finally, notice the result. They became fishers of men. Someone once said that that's what separates authentic Christianity from supernatural or superficial religion. R.A. Torrey was one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, and he said this. He said, I would like to ask, what right does a man have to call himself a follower of Jesus if he is not a soul winner? There is absolutely no such thing as following Christ unless you make the purpose of his life the purpose of your life. You see, it's important for us to understand that the primary task Jesus had in life was to bring people into his family. And the primary purpose that he has given to those of us who are his followers is to bring people into his family by fishing for people. Now, I'm not a big fisherman. Primarily because I've just never taken the time to do it. I've enjoyed it every time I've gone fishing. I've just never gone fishing a lot. But I do know one truth about fishing. If you're going to catch fish, you got to go to where the fish are. The fish aren't going to come to you. And now you can create an environment where fish will go to those environments, those places, and then you can fish there, but you still have to fish. You still have to put your line in the water with bait on it if you're going to ever catch fish. And the problem with many of us is that we are never fishing for people. We're not looking for fish. And when we ever see a fish, we're not trying to catch fish. We're not putting out bait. We're not doing anything we can to catch fish. Think about this. Why do you live where you live? Why do you work where you work? Why do you go to school where you go to school? Maybe it's because God wants you to take the gospel, the good news, where you are and fish for people and catch a few of them and bring them into the family of faith. Understand, your neighborhood is full of fish. The place you work is full of fish. The school you go to, it is full of fish. Now, I know some of you think you could never fish for people. Some of you say, I don't know how to fish. Some of you say, I'm too shy to fish. But I want you to listen again to what Jesus said. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will teach you, I will prepare you to fish for people. I want you to do something for me. I want you to get something to write on, everybody who's old enough to write. Get something to write on. Get something to write with if you don't have it. There's pens probably in the seat there in front of you. Get something to write with. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to write on that piece of paper on the palm of your hand or on the inside of your shirt. I don't care where you write it, but write down the name or the names of some people you know who are lost. They're unchurched. They're far from God. Let's write their names down. Once you write their names down, I want you to commit to pray for them. Pray for them regularly, multiple times a week, that they would be saved, that they would become a part of God's family. And then I want to ask you to just begin reaching out to them. Talk to them about life. Build your relationship with them. Minister to them if you have the opportunity. Something's going on in their life, minister to them. When they're going through hard times, just say, can I pray for you? And then invite them to church. You see, doing those simple things right there, you've already started the fishing process. You've never told your story about how Jesus changed your life. You've never told God's story about how Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross, rose from the grave, defeating sin and death on your behalf. You've never told his story, but you've already started fishing. You see, every one of us can fish, and every one of us are called to fish. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you're following, you're fishing. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. We listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. One of the most difficult passages in the Bible, something Jesus said, he said multiple times. One of the places it's found is Luke 9:23. I want you to listen to the verse. It says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must give up your life, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your way, your own life. You must take up your cross daily and follow me. According to historians, when Jesus was a young boy around 5 to 10 years old, because we don't know exactly when Jesus was born, but when Jesus was a young boy, there was a Jew named Judas of Galilee who stirred up an insurrection against the Romans. He got together an army of insurrectionists, and they rebelled against Rome. Rome quickly took care of that insurrection. They killed 300 of those zealots, as they were called. But then Rome decided they wanted to put a picture in the minds of the Jews that they would never forget. And so they rounded up 2,000 suspected zealots, 2,000 of them. They set aside places on the streets inside the city of Jerusalem and on the roads right outside the town of Jerusalem. They had these 2,000 zealots carry their crosses to the destination where they were going to be crucified. And then they nailed 2,000 of them on the same day on crosses throughout the city of Jerusalem and throughout the roads that surrounded the city of Jerusalem. The city, the streets, the roads were covered in crosses. These men, these zealots, some hung on those crosses, dying, yelling, moaning for days. Some made it weeks, but they all eventually died. But the Romans did not allow the Jews to take their bodies off the crosses. They left their decaying, rotting bodies on those crosses until they were so rotten and so decayed that they just fell off on the ground. These zealots had to take up their cross, and then they were nailed to that cross. Everybody in Jerusalem knew about that event. You don't have an event like that in your history that you don't remember it. Many of them, anyone that was Jesus' age or older, they saw it. They experienced it. They remember the agonizing cries. They remember the painful deaths. They remembered the rotting, decaying flesh. And here's Jesus saying, if you want to follow me, you must give up your life. You must take up your cross and follow me. I grew up singing a song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Some of you grew up with that same song. Simple song, just a few lines. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Jesus said, come follow me wherever it leads, whatever it costs. And I will make you a fisher of men. I got to ask you, are you following? Are you really following? Are you fishing? That's what we're called to do. That's the only way we're going to change our world. I believe with all my heart, God is calling today. He's calling some of you to salvation. He's saying to you right now, repent, turn from your sin. Believe the good news that I died in your place. I rose from the grave so that you can live a full life. If he's calling you to be saved, you don't need to think about it. You don't need to pray about it. You just need to come in just a minute. Come forward and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. He's calling some of you to give up a habit. It may be a bad habit. It may not be a bad habit, but it's keeping you from being fully all in with Jesus. And you know you need to give it up. You know that it's keeping you from doing all that he wants you to do. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to pray about it. You just need to come to this altar and say, Lord, it's yours. Some of you just need to step out of the boat. You need to step out of the boat of success. You need to step out of the boat of comfort and say, Jesus, I don't care where it leads. I don't care what I have to give up. Whatever you call me to do, I want to do it because I want to follow you. Make me a fisher of men. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to pray. Pastor Steve and I are going to be down front. Our altar is open. God is speaking to your heart. You come. Father God, this is your time. I pray, Lord God, that you'll have your heart, your way in each and every one of our hearts this morning. Amen. Don't wait on anyone.